On today's Technobabble, raster graphics and vector graphics.
Is Tech No Babble, your weekly source for church video and graphics news, perspectives, tips, and tricks. And now here's your host, Paul Clifford.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Tech No Babble. I, of course, am your host, Paul Allen Clifford from TrinityDigitalMedia.com. Go ahead and echo back to this podcast by dialing 1-877-POD-ECHO or 1-877-763-3246. Drop me a line on email, paul@trinitydigitalmedia.com. Or if you'd like to give us a review in iTunes, just head over there and do a search for Tech No Babble. That's T-E-C-H, N-O, B-A-B-E-L, like the Tower of Babel, because we're talking about tech, but we don't want to go into the territory that the people did in the story of the Tower of Babel. That's where the idea came. If you'd really... bit.ly/CTCSurvey, that's a good place to help me out. So let's get started with the content. Let's talk about raster graphics versus vector graphics. Now, this is a little geeky, so if you're not interested in that, come back to a future episode. But I just wanted to talk about this from a graphic design standpoint, that there are a few differences between these two types of graphics that really, really matter. So Photoshop is a program that deals primarily in raster graphics, although it does do some vector graphic work. Adobe Illustrator is a program that deals primarily in vector graphics, although I believe that you could import a raster graphic kind of as a background, but it's not as powerful dealing with that as Photoshop is, and vice versa. So those are the industry standard programs, and they're fairly expensive, although less so now that there's the Adobe Creative Cloud program that lets you spend $30 to $45 a month, depending on a few things, and get that software on a subscription basis. The difference between those two is what we're talking about today, and why you would use each. So when it comes to vector graphics are built on mathematical formulas. If you want to think of them as anything that you can make with a line, with a shape, where you could say just as easily, draw me a 10-foot square as you could say, draw me a 3-inch square. That is more of a vector graphic type thing. Now, granted, you can draw a raster graphic square, but if you start with the 3-inch square and blow it up, it's going to get all fuzzy looking. And that's really the primary difference. With raster graphics, it's a drawing or a representation of an image that is based specifically on pixels. So a 3-inch square might be, say, 100 pixels by 100 pixels. Now, if you try and blow that up to 10 feet by 10 feet, the pixels get bigger, and so it can look fuzzier. From a distance, this might not be as big a deal, but the closer you get, the fuzzier it gets. So if you want to think about television, a standard definition television was about 640 by 480 or 640 lines by 486. There were a few slight variations, and that was progressive. That was not progressive, that was interlaced. So there really wasn't all that much information there. When we went to high definition, so let's start with 720p, which is 720 lines of vertical resolution shown progressively, that was not only about twice what the resolution horizontally was from standard definition, it was twice vertically. So in fact, about four times. Now when you include the fact that it was progressive versus interlaced, for fast motion especially, it would seem even better because you got all the picture at once as opposed to half the picture and then the other half. Lines, the odd-numbered lines and the even-numbered lines. So think about those lines, if you want, in reference to raster graphics. So when you take a photograph with your digital camera, one of the things that matters is how many megapixels the digital camera is, because that tells us how many pixels, how many dots are going to make up the image. Now, granted, today, digital cameras, even digital cameras inside smartphones, tend to have so many pixels that if you ever wanted to print it out, unless you were getting to very, very large sizes, people aren't going to notice the difference between a 14 megapixel image and a 30 megapixel image. That's just too many pixels to deal with. But think about when you're working on a large scale. So there are a lot of churches out there that have billboards that they have, and billboards are very, very large. So what they can do is work with vector graphics instead of raster graphics, and then you can get a very sharp look. Now, if the billboard is high above the interstate and no one gets all that close to it, perhaps a high-resolution still image is adequate, because no one's going to get close enough to where they can see the image starting to lose its resolution, starting to get a little fuzzy. But what if it's a billboard that's on the side of the building and people might get close to it? If it looks fuzzy as you get close to it, people might start to think that you didn't put the time and effort and quality into it. Now, the advantage of raster graphics, because you might think at this point, well, I'm never going to do any raster graphics because they get fuzzy when you get bigger, and you might want to zoom in on something and then it gets all fuzzy and that's no good. Yeah, but it's a photograph. That's the kind of images we're talking about. Photographs. Vector graphics, while a super talented artist could make something very lifelike, that's a vector graphic image that will scale appropriately no matter what the size, it takes a much more talented artist to draw that in the computer than the vast number of people that can take an excellent picture that looks like that. So vector graphics tend to be more drawn in their appearance. Now, they could be hand-drawn in how they look, depending on how you do it. But they, so if you want to think of a logo as whether it is raster graphics or vector graphics, typically it's going to be a vector graphic image. because it would be a drawn thing. It would be something that an artist creates. There are not large M's that look like French fries in nature. So the McDonald's people can't go photograph those. They have to either build big ones and photograph them, or much more easily have an artist create something in a computer. Likewise, the logo for your church, unless your logo is much too complex, and if it's a photograph, it likely is much too complex, I would advise that you create that in Adobe Illustrator or Inkscape, which is the open source, not as good, but much freer version. And then you would have something that if you want to put it on a billboard, it can be huge. If you want to put it on a t-shirt, it can be small, and it's going to look good at either end of the spectrum and everywhere in between. So logos are really good. Text is a great example of vector graphics if it's created in a computer. Now you can make text that is rasterized or flattened, is the language they use in Photoshop. But that's something else that if you do not flatten it, if you leave it as it is, the computer doesn't care whether it's 2500 point font or 12 point font. It's just math, so it's no big deal. But let's say you type something out in Photoshop, and then you flatten that, and you flattened it at 12 point, and then you realize, oh, this needs to be much bigger, and you try and scale it up, it's going to get very soft around the edges. But if you had not flattened it, if you had not rasterized it, turned it into raster, then you could make it much larger and no one would know the difference. So there are good reasons to use each kind of graphics. I think that basically if you're looking for a drawn look, now it could look really professionally drawn, it can look great, or you need it to be huge, or need to have the ability to blow it up and maybe even just focus on one small portion of it, but still blow it up, then vector graphics is your choice. If you want it to be photorealistic, raster graphics is your choice. You can absolutely take a raster graphics file and a vector graphics file and mix them together. It's not one or the other. So you could have a photographic background with text over the top of it. And if you decide you want the text to be 200% bigger, no problem. But if you decide you want the picture to be 200% bigger, that's where things start to get a little fuzzy. So keep those differences in mind. Keep the differences between raster graphics and vector graphics in mind as you're making stills, as you're doing presentations, because a lot of people think that they can just pick any picture off the internet, for example, and throw it into a presentation and it's going to look good. And that's not the case. If it's a postage stamp size picture and it's a raster graphics type file, like a JPEG, a GIF, a PNG, any of those, when you blow it up, it's going to look soft. So you need to keep those pieces of the puzzle in mind. And these are just more tools in your toolbox as you're going out to change eternity. Until next time, I'm Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.